Straight on goal, Simon.
AFCON 2022. My name is Elozinam.
Your boy Shea Wolo.
We are live at the
Ball Gecko Park.
The man is electric.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Ball Gecko Podcast. I'm Mayuve, and today I'm introducing only myself.
Hi guys, this is Naz, aka Big C.
Okay, why the beef?
I don't
Which
get...
beef again?
Like, introduce yourself.
How would you just come and then just introduce yourself?
Oh, my God.
Because
right.
I'm introducing myself.
It's a new week. I don't even get why he's coming with this mood.
Do you get...
This energy is not necessary. Not like that. We
anyways, for those of you listening, it's Ayola Kelechi, as always. And now that's what we're talking about today.
I mean, we're talking about a very, very... let's see. Beautiful managers that are, you know, that open to work at any point in time right now. They are currently
beautiful managers.
Managers on the market, basically. Let's go with that. We're looking at currently
managers out of job.
Yeah.
Top managers available. Out of job, or just any manager out of job.
All join.
It can't be all the managers out
no,
of
no,
job.
No, hold on, just because at the end of the day, some of the names we'll call, they are not top managers.
I mean, if we are calling them, then they would be top managers. We've given them
Ole
that validation.
Ole is not a top manager, but his name is good to be on this podcast.
Because a Man U fan is on
not
this
necessarily
podcast.
Because a Man U fan, because he did it for a big team for a while, so...
Exactly. Yeah. If you've called a team like
what's
United,
the big team?
You're already
what's
on,
the big
that,
team?
On that level.
Duh.
Yeah.
If you coach a team like Juventus, if you coach a team like AC Milan...
You want to sneak in Andre Pirlo's name into this conversation?
I'm calling big teams.
It has to be there now, because, I mean... Even if, okay, let's start from the, should we say, the not so great managers.
Okay.
That just happened to, well, not just happened to, but like they've been at the top.
That just and happened now to get a job because they are legends.
We say Rafael.
Hmm?
Mr. Benitez.
Eh? No, how about?
Are you serious?
But you now, relax now. I wanted to understand where it was coming from.
Like people like Ole, people like Pirlo, Lampard just escaped recently.
Yes, apparently.
What was escaped?
Not necessarily.
He did not just collect a job now.
I mean,
so if we did this episode.
He's not necessarily top, but
if we did this episode
just,
like.
He was fortunate
if we did this episode like a couple of weeks ago, we would have mentioned Lampard as part of them.
You see, this man is better than Ole. That's the only thing that is in his head. This is competition. Like,
he's
you can't analyze this, in a different way. So here's what I'm saying. So, I mean, Ole, Pirlo, I would like to have put Ateta if he didn't have a job.
But he has a job now.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I think he's in their class of they've not had that long
experience,
but they are just fortunate enough to see that big job.
No, not Ateta. No.
Why not Ateta?
But he didn't have a big job.
Yes, yes.
He was assistant for quite a while.
That's the point.
Guardiola. Yes, now he's not the main guy.
That's the point.
What I'm saying is, and then he has proven himself. He's an Arsenal.
But he hadn't proven himself before getting the job. That's what we're saying.
Okay.
Very good.
I mean.
So
I thought
basically,
it was very
basically, we're going with top managers are out of a job right now. They are available at this very moment to take over any job that's been offered to them.
That they are interested in.
But yeah,
of course, they have to
people
be interested
are top managers and they were not interested in United.
No, they are top managers and they are not interested. No, it's not a big deal. Zidane, yes, let the cat out of the bag. It's a small team.
Yeah.
What is poor?
So
I mean,
it's not about being.
But I actually,
it's normal for you not to want a job if you don't want a job.
It's exactly, not it's not by force. So I actually think it's not like
because no, it's a big team. I was thinking, who would not want to manage a big team?
Nagelsmann refused Real Madrid to coach Bayern.
I was going to say one thing like
no. In fact, he refused Real Madrid to stay where he was.
And it's not like
RB Leipzig.
And it's not like Real Madrid is a small team. It's just your personal preference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone should tell Maivy that it's not like if Chelsea goes for Zidane will open your leg and say he wants to go. This is not a versus versus. But
Chelsea stands a better chance than United.
But you will not see getting.
I mean,
better chance.
Considering he said he didn't want to coach in England, I think they both. Stand
yes,
the same
you
chance.
See the same thing. Even Man City, throw whatever money at Zidane.
Zidane.
Yes, no problem.
Never
but
will
see, in
be
the situation
like
whereby you in the situation whereby your team is ever interested,
Zidane is not
going to be interested. So it's not going to be like Chelsea is not a top team. All
right. So talking about Zidane, I think the only job he'll be interested in right now is PSG.
No. Exactly, I don't think it was really PSG. If France became open, he'll be open.
I think if France became open,
he will go today.
If you look at what he's done with Real Madrid, winning the Champions League as a player and the coach, and then you look at France, he's won the World Cup, the Euros as a player. He'd love to do that as a coach.
Exactly.
And given the talent that France have currently, the Mbappes, the
everybody you see linked to any, like, I mean, when he was at Real Madrid, all the players that were linked to Madrid were there because of Zidane.
Yeah.
So coaching France,
they're all French.
Yeah, they're all French.
Camavinga.
So coaching France, the national team, is just going to be like the collection of everybody at the same time without anybody having to say, okay, you need to transfer. You need to go. It's just about Zidane. Oh, I wanted to play this window. I want to play this window. And he's there for me. He has created his super team in his mind that he wants to create. So, I mean, it's straightforward for
it's
him.
It's only understandable that that's the case because all these guys look up to Zidane. There's no French player you talk about. Zidane is the pinnacle.
Well,
I mean, some people would argue that Platini is the pinnacle. Yeah. But still, yeah.
Still fire away.
Some strikers will tell you Thierry Henry.
Like, for this generation, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Now.
Well, like he said, some strikers will say Thierry Henry. Yeah. Well. So I mean, look at Mbappe. He definitely had more Henry influence than
Zidane influence. So, I mean.
This is not up for argument. I just feel if you hear Mbappe talk about old players, all French players now talk about old players, because they can still see Zidane. There's this idol, or
not just he was good. He was good.
He
so
has
I
ended.
Mean,
I didn't say he's not, but I'm just telling you that because they all have that respect. Every French player will always talk about Zidane.
I think it's the same thing that
you can't compare what Zidane achieved to Thierry.
I think
Henry,
you can not.
You mean apart from individual honors?
You can actually.
It's just the Ballon d'Or.
Yes, that's
okay,
all.
Not
I mean,
just the Ballon d'Or because it's something
even
really
the
big.
Goal scoring, Henry was a better goal scorer and he scored more goals definitely. Yeah, he won more goals.
He's a midfielder.
Exactly. So I mean,
so if you are talking about,
I'm
not in the strength.
No. If you are talking about what, just
talking about players and then we bring Zidane up there, you bring Henry.
You get that, you go put Henry and you put Henry there. There's a way you put Henry. No, I'm not saying general. Wait. Hold on, to be fair, Henry is not even in this list of. He's in this list
I don't understand.
We don't consider him a manager.
Yes, exactly, because you go there and bully all the players. But the thing is, we're not talking about Henry as a manager versus Zidane as a manager, or Henry as his playing career.
Henry was a manager too.
Yes. And he's in this list of people that we're talking about right now.
Again, no.
Exactly, because we've never started calling notable mentions like Valverde, Rafael Benitez, Ronald Koeman,
Espirito Santo. Hold on, we'll get there.
I mean, there's a long list of managers that fit into this bill we're talking about right now, but Henry and Zidane playing career and all. Yes, Zidane definitely heads above shoulder, but it's not like Henry 2 was a walkover or Henry 2 did not achieve anything. Henry 2, like, if you look at the CV and the things he achieved, bro, Giroud just passed him.
It's not.
Giroud just passed him as not scorers list.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not beans.
Okay.
Now, and anyways, like we're saying, players looking up to Zidane was probably also one of the things that helped him at Real Madrid.
Exactly. Yeah, because I think one of Zidane's superpowers to me is managing that squad of superstars.
Yeah, because they can all look to him and say, this guy was our literal predecessor.
So basically they know that this guy, what they are doing right now, he was doing it at a very high level. So if he says this, they want to, he's talking from experience and you know that, yes, this guy.
It's not about that. The guy is good. He's
no,
good. So many people have been fantastic football players.
But here's what I'll tell you, I think about Zidane.
That's what helps you. That's what we're saying.
There's no help. Don't
of
take it away.
Of course it's help. What are you talking about? Nobody's taking it away from his quality.
I want to ask my everyone
question. This thing is even something that people like Jose Mourinho have referenced, that if someone was a former player, they are more likely to listen to you than Tuchel who didn't play.
Klopp was a fantastic player.
That's not what we're saying. We're not saying
is okay, it was fantastic.
What we're saying is, listen, before you misunderstand as usual. What I said was not that being a former player makes you a better coach. Okay. No, that's not what I said.
That never works.
It's very important to understand what I'm saying before you argue. Shay, you get.
So I want to say one quick thing. So yes, you said everything that we should not take away from it, or it's not luck. Do you think Zidane is a good tactician? Is he good?
I think he is. See,
how do you look at him and say, okay, this is what he does, this is style of play, this is his identity on the pitch, this is his philosophy?
Well, not necessarily. I think he's more of the type of tactician to adapt to situations rather than get
the best out of his players.
Rather than have an actual philosophy that you would say sticks to Zidane.
Yes.
But that is also his style. So you can't take that.
So no,
from him.
But I think you put that one down to more like a better man manager than a tactician.
No, not necessarily. For you to even understand your opponent's strengths and weaknesses, you have to be very good at this tactics.
What I think is Zidane plays to the strength of his players. Each of his players, they get to play to the best of their ability.
That's what everybody is
Without actually playing to a cross and nod, gang press.
Says who? Real Madrid were a big cross and nod team.
Yes, we saw them do that a lot, but that was not Zidane. You cannot say Zidane is a cross and nod coach.
No, I think he was. Because I remember there was this game where Real Madrid played against Bayern Munich and they were struggling to break Bayern down.
That's it.
And do you know what Zidane did? And that's another thing that goes to look at his in-game management.
Okay.
The changes that he makes and things that he does. He then brought Asensio and I think Lucas Vazquez on the other wing
to be crossing,
as well as Marcelo and Carvajal.
So here's
and eventually they got two goals from those crosses.
Let me explain. So now this is Zidane. He said something about adapting. Like he reads the game and he adapts to it. So he doesn't start the game saying everybody go and be crossing.
But when
he sees that that's what's not going to work for him, he makes those changes and it works for him.
What I'm saying is to even do this requires a brilliant tactician. Because if you are not, then you can't really understand what's going on the pitch in the first place. To then say, oh, let's make these changes, let's do this, let's do that. Did you get?
Okay, so I don't know. I don't know how much of a good action I would rate Zidane to be, but I know he's an excellent man manager because he didn't see his players come out to cry and say, oh, they did it, they don't like this.
I mean, the only time they probably cried was when he was leaving.
Exactly. So he didn't have that negative effect on, I say, maybe like 90% of the squad. Everybody liked him. Maybe 2% that we're probably not hearing about or that things are happening and behind closed doors. Ground. Yeah.
But and of course the success that you would have had would have
exactly,
everything up.
Exactly. So that just works for him. Zidane is the top one manager that any team, regardless of your budget, would want. But at the end of the day, not everybody can get him. Then I mean behind him, who do you have that is currently available? Who do you think is one of this list? Like, I mean,
I think it has to be Valverde.
Valverde has only La Liga titles, and Greek Super League titles.
How much more do you want? What people are getting jobs on way less than that.
To be fair, that's true.
And I mean, but he's done it at smaller teams, at Bilbao. He's won things like the Copa del Rey, Super Cup as well.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Sorry to put your identity on blast. Okay,
I wasn't among
them. Yes, hold on. Your identity is a Barcelona fan. So your Barcelona fans still did not appreciate his work.
I wasn't among them. So I don't have any rebuttal to that because I wasn't among them.
Okay, that's fine. Because I know for a fact that I was kind of confused about why Barcelona wanted to sack Valverde.
Top of the table.
I mean, it didn't look like he was going to lose the league and everything. And then when that happened, there's another person on this list that they came in with 1,000 passes per match.
Actually, there are two people on the 1,000 passes. That's definitely one person.
Yes, 1,000 passes per match. Yeah, I mean, you know who.
But I think he's a lot further down the list.
Yeah, he's not as attractive as other managers. I think Benitez, what he did at Everton recently, he's still a more attractive manager than 1,000 passes. Maeve, do you have any other person? You look like someone that likes Nuno Espirito Santo. Maeve, don't kill me, please. But, I mean, Nuno, where do you think you put him? Okay, hold on. So, no, we have... If we're going with top five, we have Zidane, we have Valverde. Who do you think should be in and around?
Joachim Löw.
Exactly. I don't know. Why didn't you start with that? Why is he not above Valverde?
Because, people mostly look at him as a national team manager. Exactly.
But and what I liked about this Löw's career is you could see the build up in Germany. Germany had this period of time whereby they just decided to change their whole football philosophy. I think it was from that 5-1 loss to England. Immediately that happened, they changed their youth system, they changed their coach. So like they're breeding coaches and players at the same time.
They're still breeding. Yes, coaches.
No. Now they have that. They have a system that is continuous. So from that match, they changed a lot of things, and then it ended. I mean, Euro 2004. I think they came out in the group stage, or they didn't make it so far.
Yeah.
So it was still evident that this change was still happening, and then World Cup 2006 semi-finals, 2010 semi-finals, 2014 champions. I mean, you could see the progression.
2018.
So 08 Euros. I think they were in finals.
2018.
So.
Why are you skipping 2018?
No, relax now. Let me tell my story. Then we'll get to climax of my story. Yes, 2018. They don't make it out of the group stage. But Euro 2008, they were in finals.
Well, yeah.
So I mean, you could see that loss was like an eye opener to them, and then they were bringing out not just players but also managers, because from there we started seeing a lot of managers, started seeing Gegen Press, started seeing philosophical managers, started seeing the German football, because there's the whole thing about spin and technique. Meanwhile, Germany is all about efficiency,
heavy metal,
exactly, heavy metal football and stuff like that. And now we're getting like a lot of German influence in the English Premier League. But still and still, I mean, I like Germany for the breed of managers and the way they are creating, that they are nurturing them to make them who they are right now.
Mm. Interestingly, not a lot of, should I say, high quality German managers are off the market.
Yes. I mean, I think they're horse kick right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably a testament to just how well they've done.
Even sporting directors are good enough to manage as this. Yes, they'll rather trick you in as a manager and say, you know what, since everybody's referencing, everybody's talking to you. Yeah. Come on, do something.
Why are you doing this?
I'm not calling names.
No, why are you doing this?
Did I call names?
We know who you're talking about. What you're talking about.
So I can just say what I'm saying and say you know who.
It's not fair.
It's not what it's...
Because like, it's really not fair.
Not fair to who and to how?
To Ogbeni Ralph.
It's not, I know he's good now. I like him now. I mean, I actually...
So why are you now shading him?
I'm not shading him. I'm happy for him. Do you know how I see? I was so overjoyed that he was one of the people that I actually called. So I'm like, I mean, it's good start from. So I'm not expecting mine to start being a successful club now or next year. Further along the line, yes, we start seeing results. But right now...
When are you expecting mine?
Oh, that's when you can talk. Now you can talk. Please mute your mic because apparently you don't want to add anything to this conversation. You said Zidane has ended.
Why are you harassing?
The only reason why I harass Maivy is because Maivy sees every question as a rivalry, as an argument. Maivy, we can talk and be on the same side. At some point in a previous episode, we shook hands on agreeing on Mbappé being number four on our list.
After refusing to shake hands,
he was the one that refused to shake hands, not me.
Every fan has what they like to talk about.
And so your own is always against when I say anything good for my team.
The beauty of football for me is the banter.
So when I say something good about my team, that's when you now say, no.
If something is good and it's obviously Pogba is a good player, even though he's injury prone. There are some good things. We all know Zinedine Zidane is the best manager out of job right now.
Yeah.
We all agree to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Don't you like Gennaro? I thought you like Gennaro is German. So he's German.
Actually, he is.
So yes,
I think he would do a great job at United.
What about Chelsea? Chelsea, I'm asking you honest question.
These are the big names I've struggled.
It's not your fault.
Somebody was talking about Arsene Wenger getting out and then getting a job.
Yeah, but
I think for Arsene Wenger, the work that he's doing at FIFA, he would look at that as being too important.
Yeah, because he has more of an impact in the whole game rather than just,
even though some of the things he's proposing are very interesting.
Sometimes I feel that guy, has taken like two drugs or something. I don't know. So I would not want to go into it, but I just feel. I mean, this man came up with 2 years World Cup, like as if say World Cup now beans on a normal day. So moving on, yes, there's a certain Lucien Favre. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I was surprised at his performance at Dortmund. I mean, first season wasn't that bad, but second season,
you don't think it maybe fell apart. You don't think it had to do with loss of players?
I mean, that's the Dortmund system.
So Dortmund is a selling club.
Everybody knows this.
True.
Like without doubt, Dortmund is definitely a selling club, and I don't think they lost as many players as, I mean,
Monaco.
No, not even as Monaco. I mean, as many players as old Dortmund.
Okay, true.
Because we've seen Dortmund lose players like Lewandowski, Aubameyang, then
Götze,
Hummels,
Shikagawa,
bro,
Sahin,
and they still survive.
Bro, I get you. Another interesting name actually should be a certain Italian. Not Andrea Pirlo, please. I don't rate that guy as a manager.
Why do you hate Pirlo?
No, I don't hate him. I don't hate him, but I just felt that, they offered him the job as the under-21 manager and less than a week, they promoted him to senior. And
if you look at it, a good manager should be a good manager.
I think the decision made in that boardroom of Juventus at that time was very...
Hasty.
Not just hasty. I don't say dubious or very questionable. It was so questionable. Like, I mean, how did you guys arrive at it? Because you clearly wanted him here, and then less than a week, if you're going to remove Sarri, I think it was Sarri that if you're going to take Sarri, Sarri is not available. Yeah. If you're going to take Sarri out, bring in somebody of that same pedigree, because this was
more experience.
Yeah, this was going to be Pirlo's first ever job as a coach, and then you're putting him there. And now he got fought, and then you took him out like as if it was the problem. Carry him back to his other team, so let him go and enjoy it.
But some people have done that now, like in their first.
Some.
And they assume that Pirlo will be gifted.
But
in
here is the thing. Even those people wanted that they have done it in their first year. Hence Pep.
Mm-hmm.
Pep was already with Barcelona B for a while. Mm. Zidane was already with Real Madrid Castilla for a while. I don't put Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but apparently
put it wherever you want to put it.
Ole.
It's easy for you guys to rubbish that guy. He had a good spell.
Who's that? Solskjaer. That's what I said.
And then at this point, I think every United fan should know that the manager is not the problem.
No, we know that. Don't worry. Hold on. He was not the problem at the point, but he's still a problem on his own. He was still a problem.
That's not the main problem.
He was not the main problem, but he was the problem.
Why can't you
chill. Going back to the Italian manager
now,
I was talking about.
Do you know this? The would you like an argument that we have every time? You see, the Luke Shaw that we know in United was not the Luke Shaw that played with England this weekend.
Since, okay, this you mean this season?
This weekend? Because did you see the
that last scored? Season before the Euros?
Yeah, that was the Luke Shaw would not know. Last season, Luke Shaw was the one would not know. Yes,
wasn't that like the best left back in England? Yeah,
exactly.
The Pogba and that we know.
Problem. Yes,
United
no.
is not the Pogba we see in France. The Maguire in England is not the Maguire in
United.
It kind of, by now we should
another,
all
that's another conversation.
That the
manager
is not the problem.
He himself is a problem on his own. Don't worry. Okay. He,
but the manager,
I hope
at the end of the day,
he will have the chance to prove himself in another club. Then you guys will realize,
like that. Chelsea,
and time will come. His time will come.
Like Chelsea.
Definitely, Tuchel doesn't look like.
No, and
what if he wants? To
like I said, actually, like I mean, at some point in the future, you don't know the future.
Chelsea will not pick him.
Okay.
Up.
Why? Good. No, because it's not good enough.
The United
and legend.
Big. And it's not bad down.
Maybe it's easy.
But you wanted Chelsea to pick up Zidane
to pick up Mourinho. Zidane is a rival to Chelsea.
Sorry?
I'm not getting you. Where is Zidane?
No, Mourinho picks Mourinho.
Since you're not picking legends from other clubs,
I mean,
I'm talking about United and Chelsea now, obviously.
Yes, United picked Mourinho that was there after his Chelsea career.
That's what I'm saying. United picked Mourinho, it doesn't mean Chelsea will go for
Chelsea
him,
picked Benitez.
Yes.
Benitez has gone everywhere.
No. Before he came to Chelsea, he was not
and
everywhere.
Then how long did he stay?
Do you know how long he said he was not going to coach Chelsea and he said a lot of slanderous things against Chelsea?
You want to compare the rivalry between Chelsea and Liverpool?
Oh, and yes, not compare. I think we're just rivals now.
I'm sorry, rivals is rivals. It's not about. I mean, it's almost like saying I cannot pick an Arsenal manager because it's Arsenal. So moving on, I was talking about Gennaro Gattuso and if he thinks an impressive manager.
Well, I think he did well with AC Milan, given what was given to him at the time. I mean, you look at the AC Milan team now and they have people like Kessié, Zlatan.
I needed to finish that statement before I attacked you. Like,
and they had, like, they right now they have like quality players that you can say, I want to go to AC Milan and buy this player from them, and nobody will look at you like you're crazy. But
give me their left back.
They had very average players, if we're being honest.
To be fair,
and they've spent that time rebuilding, and even at that time, he was still able to get them.
But you see why I'll give someone like that so more credit than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He saw things were not working out, and he said, "No, since I love this club, like you guys saw yourself," and he stepped out. Yeah, he stepped out. No, to be fair, you look at that and you keep claiming you love the club, and then you see that what you're doing is not. You know that because when Ole was at Molde, and then they asked me a question about Mourinho saying he was happy that he finished second, and then he had the guts to say you can never be satisfied finishing second as the United manager, blah blah blah. He loved. I don't say trash, but a lot of things like that. That I mean, how dare
that
you?
He couldn't defend once he got into the job.
This man stepped down, then he was taking us to the trenches, and then you want me to dance like that? Ogbeni, step out! Like you don't need to allow them sacking. Watford, I took 1 point from Watford this season because of this man. Moving on, please.
I mean, Watford are not that bad now.
Please, dear, I beg. They're getting out of the league very soon.
However, for Gattuso, his spell at Napoli.
I like that. I actually like that. I didn't.
But he spot it at the very end, and that's really going to leave a big stain on him because
agreed. But
one game to go, you can qualify for the Champions League for the first time since they sacked Sarri, and then you just blew it like that.
You know, I don't put that down to him. Like,
you can't
put 90 minutes of the whole season down
on
the manager. The manager has done whatever he has done to get there.
The problem wasn't even just the 90 minutes. Is that they had chances before that 90 minutes that they blew consistently until Juventus was able to catch up to them.
True, yeah, that last year.
And then you have one final chance to redeem yourself, and then zero.
So I mean,
anyway, you mentioned Watford and their immediate former coach
Ranieri.
Yeah,
Ranieri Tinkerman is always traveling everywhere. He's a jolly good fellow and everything, but all he has to show is his Premier League. And yes, to be fair,
what do you mean?
That's actually very big. If you look at the challenges that were around him, Leicester City team that probably just escaped relegation the last season, going on to win the league in the next season when you're not playing FIFA career mode. I mean, no respect to that guy, but respect is only one season. After that season, there's not so much. No, to be fair,
but again,
his bigger achievement for that time was Champions League semi-final at Monaco.
But the problem is that he's never really, apart from Leicester wasn't even a big job, he just made the best out of it, but after Chelsea he hasn't really gotten like a big job per se. After Leicester he went to Sampdoria.
Was that Roma at some point?
That was after Chelsea, but then again it's still Roma. we're not talking the Chelsea's or the Real Madrid's.
Sure.
So it's going to be difficult for him to find that kind of big job.
Okay. Well, you know, there's this recent hot manager that's been on the market for a while, and somehow he has still not gotten the job. And Paulo Fonseca. Like, he's always been in
Everton
the news.
Ruins everything that they touch.
Oh my God.
It's the truth.
Oh my God.
Because, I mean, just look at Benitez now. Same
it's true.
Thing.
Yeah, he's looking like.
Javi Gracia was doing really good at Watford, went to Everton.
No, was this guy that was at Hull City before? Who? Hull City, Everton, and out of a job now. Not even Roberto Martinez.
I mean, that's how it goes now. Everton out of a job. It's not.
Now, wow.
It's not a new thing. That's
Aaron Nakuma went from Everton to Barcelona. Now, he cannot.
No, he went from Everton to the Netherlands national team.
Okay.
Taking them to the Euros, qualifying them for the Euros for the first time. Like, they didn't qualify for the last one.
Then Barcelona.
Do you get then Barcelona?
I mean,
there was a small stopgap where he did some good work.
Okay, Rudy Garcia.
Well, I mean, he's not exactly a big fan.
Big
yeah, exactly. Yeah. We won't call him like a big manager.
Well,
he
said something about having a very good interview with United before we got Ragnick.
Everybody has good interviews. That's generally how football is.
Wow, it's not like Emery that went to Arsenal that was giving them PowerPoint presentation.
And they loved it. That's the point. That's. These guys are trained in these things.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you have to show yourself. I mean, even the guy who was supposed to coach the Super Eagles, Jose Pesero,
yeah,
they said he also gave a presentation that was mind blowing. Even though I doubt the. Anyways,
German.
No problems.
I'm looking. I would like to see how Ten Hag's interview went with United, because at the same time, everybody's saying that they're impressed and it was a good interview and blah blah blah. It's like that, but he himself is wondering why he has not been offered the job yet. But. What's your take? You don't like Ten Hag? I mean, Ten Hag still has a job, but what do you think about Ten Hag?
If big managers have come before him, bigger than him.
Okay.
But maybe because he has a kind of different philosophy than the other guys. Okay. I think he's a little bit close to Ragnick, apart from the fact that Ragnick is Stone Age.
Wow. Now, wow. But
yes, now, there's a reason.
You said you were about to attack me for slandering Ragnick. This man just called Ragnick Stone Age.
No, I'm still confused as to what he's talking about okay. In terms of Stone Age.
So, okay. As I was saying, I think maybe, let's see, if he'll come and make a difference.
Okay, so...
I'll be surprised if he does anyway.
I think he will, but no, I'm not expecting an instant
maybe
impact.
He will need to really shake.
Yes, I'm not expecting instant impact, but I think, you know, at some point...
What is the definition of instant?
Next season now. That's instant impact.
It's not possible.
Yeah, so yeah.
Nobody can do that.
But I would just like to call a list of managers that are familiar to us in the English Premier League that are also, that are, you know, like also top. Well, kind of top managers in the English Premier League, but not necessarily top-ish, yeah, because they know what they are known for is getting teams out of relegation and surviving, not necessarily challenging for titles. The likes of Tony Pulis, Neil Warnock, Paul Lambert, relegation,
who are these people?
Specialists.
Yeah. Uwerosla, Gary Monk. I mean, these niggas don't
really,
even...
Really? Gary Monk?
No, to be fair, these men, they don't even survive one season. That's the sad part. But most of them, except Tony Pulis does magnificent job once in a while. At least, he makes his CV look presentable at some point. He gets. So he's not all the way bad. Like Samaranas is not bad as well. Think about it. That's what I'm just saying now. I mean, there are managers like that.
So you're talking about managers that EPL fans will be familiar with.
Yes.
You haven't mentioned Marcelo Bielsa.
He's recent. I think Marcelo Bielsa is more of a world recognition rather than just EPL.
But I mean, they will definitely be very familiar with him.
Yeah, but right now, I don't think anybody in the league wants to give him a job. Not because...
Not even Norwich.
No. Not because... To work under this Bielsa system, this is a lot more than just, you know, giving him budget and everything. He has this control thing, because see this lead squad now, so small a squad, like he doesn't plan for injuries. These players are not machines. They are, at some point they are going to get tired or they are going to get overworked.
I think that's really what happened this season with Bamford.
Yes,
and they really
we
couldn't
talk about
it.
Villas-Boas.
Yeah, Villas-Boas.
True,
as well.
Baby Mourinho.
Just
you liked him now. Didn't you like him?
I like him.
But he was a good manager. I think he still was. I mean, if you look at his last job and what
when he came to us.
I would say I would not agree to you.
If you look at his last job and what actually transpired, Massive. It wasn't like
Is it Massive?
Yeah, Massive. It wasn't like he was a bad manager or anything.
Yeah, he had
issues with the board.
Yeah.
One day he came, they resigned. Told him they weren't going to sell a player.
Yeah,
and he saw that they had sold a player. And he just, you know what, I can't do this anymore.
I actually like when managers stick to their guns. Lazio manager that, you know, he resigned before the season started, and that was fantastically enough.
I think that was also Bielsa.
Yes, exactly. This same Bielsa that we're about to talk about. He's a revered manager around the world. So
risky. That's a crazy risk.
No, it's not just a risk.
I think it's what happens when you like know your worth and you know what you cannot work with.
Yeah, so you don't take nonsense. to be fair, is that like Leeds, did they sack him or did he resign?
They said mutual consent, but that's kind of like code language for we sacked him.
Okay, yes,
which is fine.
To be fair,
but I mean, there can be no hard feelings between him and Leeds.
They gave much money, and he also gave them them the Bielsa magic.
To some extent.
This is Ball Gecko Punt.
Huge for Liverpool, heartbreaking for West Ham.
All right, guys, so we'll be moving to the World Cup segment of the Ball Gecko podcast, Made Brighter by MTN. And we're going to be talking about Super Eagles and the game, the first leg against Ghana in Accra at the Slaughterhouse. I mean, it didn't go as we expected it to go.
Exactly.
I think it was much worse than... I mean, they didn't lose, but it kind of felt like a loss.
So many things to say. I didn't even know where to start from. First of all, Accra turned up. I think it was a 40k capacity, and that place was full.
I think it could possibly have been more than the 40k people.
Yeah, they said it was 70k, actually, what I read.
It
was crazy. I heard somebody too was talking about our players. They said when our players came for the warm up before the match started, that they ran back inside.
Why?
Because of the noise.
Did you see that stadium?
Intimidation from the noise and everything.
Okay. The place was full. It was like human beings were pouring over. And then they were comfortable.
People were pouring over.
The guy eating jollof.
Yes.
And one day I was like, who share food? Who call these people?
Thankfully, the scoreline
they maximized the home advantage guy.
But they
did not maximize it on the scoreline, which is what favors.
To be honest, I think if it was on a neutral ground, Nigeria should have beaten that Ghanaian squad.
You know, the funny thing is that,
and then again, they were kind of unlucky not to have even won.
Yes, our goalkeeper was man of the match.
I saw that.
Let you know that.
I don't really agree, but let's go.
He was.
He made one big save.
Here's what I think. I actually think we should stick with. Saves. I think we should stick with Uzo, not just based on this qualifier.
Maduka.
Maduka is not like Maduka.
It's not like he's bad, but.
No, but I just think Uzo is better.
Yes, it's like he's more experienced. It's like he's ready.
He went to the World Cup at 19.
The cane that they used to flog the senior wife is available for the junior wife. That's all I will say.
Yeah, so when
that's all I'll say about that.
When it's time for Uzo to collect his own beating, I mean.
Oh, he will collect it.
Yes,
Uzo. It's Nigeria.
Nobody's
on the ground like sand. Don't want to be Ekpe.
But yeah,
performance. So the match was, I mean, I was pissed.
That's the proper.
The whole game, I think the only person that was in that game for me was Olaino, Leon Balogun, and the keeper.
Leon Balogun had a good game.
He did, though. He was covering for Trostekong twice.
They both had a reasonable game.
He covered for him, not really.
Because I mean, even with Leon Balogun, there were times he made mistakes and then covered up for the mistake after it.
But I think we have the more formidable back when it's Omero. There's much more understanding. Or maybe we should try Omero and Leon Balogun.
Maybe back three.
Because Ekong is getting tired.
But I heard something about the game. I noticed the Ghanaian frontline did not have a lot of their experienced players. They had this 19-year-old, this 18-year-old guy.
From Roma, 19 actually.
Yeah. No, there were two teenagers. In their attack.
Afenagian.
Afenagian, the one we knew of, and then the one we didn't know.
The one that
of.
Fired that knuckle shot.
Yeah. So I kept looking at it like we're kind of lucky to play against the inexperienced guys.
You know, it worked to their advantage, the fact that they used those young guys. And because that was the annoying thing about Nigeria. Nigeria were just very individualistic, if there's a word like that. It was like everybody wanted to show. See Moses Simon losing the ball like three times. Chukwueze.
Moses Simon.
That's
like they've gotten him now. What to get here? Baba, change your style, man.
I was on Twitter looking at the reactions, and people were like, "Oh my God, Simon!" I'm like,
are you surprised?
We've said this before.
Yes, I'm not surprised. You should be expecting this from him.
This is what he does.
It's, man. And then the most annoying thing again, I don't know the instruction Iguavon gave Iheanacho. It was like he was a deep lying playmaker. Like, nah, he was defending kind of, like the whole match.
Yeah, but that's kind of what he did. He always tries to join the midfield to try and help them out. Yeah.
But now he could not help us. There were two guys on Osimhen every time.
The fact that we didn't have Ndidi as well meant that our midfield had to defend more than usual.
Yeah, that's why we had Bonke. Yeah, and which, we had Aribo.
At the end of the day, he's not Ndidi, and Aribo isn't really. Aribo is actually an AM.
Yes, he's not so much of a defensive.
He's not much of a defensive. Yeah, that's why. So it was more of a 4-3-3 than a 4-2-3-1 at the end of the day.
So you know,
Mio is our 4-4-1.
you know, we spoke about Bonke coming to the team and not replacing.
He played well.
Yes. I mean, nobody expected him to go straight into the starting XI.
Oh, me, I expected him. Funny, you know, I said
he did.
I said it. I was like, this guy was brought in directly for him, and he was not on the squad. To let you know that they looked at him and they were like,
he should. I mean, you know,
he played.
Yeah, I agree. He played.
Apart from the
part, we would have expected Franco Onyeka to start.
You know, the funny thing, it was Etebo that was actually did well.
I think just the fact that. This season, he hasn't really been fit for very often.
You see what I was saying about quality. That's what I was saying about quality.
He still showed in the game that.
Yes, he did. But we know that this guy is a quality player. And it showed that, even though you can see the fact that, maybe because he was lacking match fitness, he was still better than even Bonke, as good as he played. Etebo showed. And then Etebo is the kind of person that if he had more chance, if you open space for him, he can shoot from anywhere.
So yeah, but the problem I have with Etebo is he's not consistent in it. Like he gives you this.
In Nigeria, he's actually consistent in it.
He gives you 9/10 today against Ghana.
Did you see? Because maybe because you didn't watch the match.
Yes, but
this guy played 10 minutes and he collected a yellow card.
Exactly.
On top. Passion.
That doesn't seem like a good record.
No, yes, it was too much passion. What I mean that it was like the game meant more to him than all the other people on
the
field.
No problem. But that's the thing. Etebo will give you 9/10 for that 10 minutes. Another game, you started from the beginning and then he's giving you 4/10 in the first 10
hoping,
5 minutes.
Bonke is injured. I was holding his hamstring. It looks like it's a muscular stuff and that means most likely he won't play the next. I'm hoping we're going to start Etebo. Then
what about Franco?
Somebody should support Osimhen.
I mean, if you look,
Osimhen was lost in that game.
Did at the end of the game in the extra time.
That move crazy.
You can understand why nobody wants to defend him or say start this guy because he did a brilliant move, spawned the defenders,
and then he
had a free player on his side and then he tried to cross a very ridiculous cross.
That's the power of the 12th man. I think it was the player, the Ghanaians shouting because he had so much space.
Exactly,
in front
he had so
of
much
him.
Space, so much time, and the skill was actually mad.
He just quickly crossed the
proper ball. Cruyff turn, and he just panicked and just.
And the funny
ball.
Thing, it was Osimhen that was right
Dennis
by his side.
Right here by his side.
I don't know why Dennis.
But he was looking for Osimhen.
Why didn't he start Dennis though?
He's new now.
I think he has had.
No, I mean like he's new to this Eguavoen.
Okay. Dennis didn't play anything. Don't let us.
He had like five minutes.
Etebo still did something.
If the ball is around
from the start didn't play anything.
Yeah, he didn't play anything too.
Either.
No, Osimhen didn't have chance.
Exactly. That's why Dennis is not going to have chance.
Did you see how? No, you know the funny thing. The way Nigeria is. The way we are laid out, we have more chances on our wings. So it's most of the time our wingers always get the ball. Maybe because they always pull back, which is why I expected Iheanacho to be up there right behind Osimhen supporting him. You see this style the Ghanaians played. They were always it was up true.
Wait, hold on, let me
be honest. There was no style in that match.
Wait, no, Ghana had a plan. Did you see their plan?
It was pure.
Run and meet the ball.
That sounds like something I did in secondary school.
It looked.
They did it back for rough.
I believe that match was a very good example of AFCON ball.
No, they actually Ghana actually had a style.
But AFCON ball. They excluded it in AFCON ball.
Their style was AFCON.
Yes, AFCON ball. So
no. The Roma guy, Gian,
again.
Several times he got the ball on the run. If Osimhen had chances like this, he would have converted
this. This can happen in AFCON ball.
Nigeria, we do not give Osimhen the ball at all.
Yes, because we had an even worse plan. Like there was no cohesion. There was nothing. Like the game. It didn't give anything. It was actually
they killed
really
us.
Bad showing.
We didn't have a corner kick until like 40-something minutes.
At the last episode or the last episode that we talked about Nigeria Ghana, everybody was confident about beating Ghana.
I wasn't.
I said about us drawing and then taking it.
But now, even in this second leg, watching what happened in Ghana, you can't still be so sure
that Nigeria is going to qualify. Can you also be, can you be sure that Ghana also qualify as well?
No.
You know they have an advantage. So you know there's exactly. Away goal.
Is there a way? Is there a way?
They are all, they are through. So you know the funny thing, people are always saying, oh, we went to their home and then we drew. We now have an advantage of home.
I was hoping there was an advantage. If our confirmation is a way goal, then I mean Nigeria, we have a lot to do then. We should try our best not to concede.
You know the worst part. Do you know what that match? Everything is wrong with the match.
For me, the worst part is that I think the players and technical staff might not be aware that they're operating on the way goals rule.
Oh no, they know.
As ridiculous as it sounds, because I remember in Olympics, the last Olympics, with the Super Falcons, they didn't know that they were operating on the way goals and they were drawing in the game, and then the other team ran off celebrating and they were waiting for extra time.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how we didn't qualify for the Olympics. Nigeria was not at the last Olympics.
Nigeria, wow. Mark for me now.
Please, somebody should call Iguavon now. Please.
I mean, let him know.
Who has his number? Mm-hmm. Who has Iguavon? Let's tell him there's a way goal.
Captain Bubu has his number. I mean, you can.
Bubu is going to be in the match, man.
All right, guys. Thank you. That's the end of the World Cup segment of the Ball Gecko podcast. And also, as well, it's the end of the Ball Gecko podcast for today.
For more podcast episodes, visit all your podcast listening platforms or story.ballgecko.com. Also, follow us on Instagram @ballgeckopod.